Got your Bibles? Turn to Proverbs 22, please. Proverbs 22. Proverbs chapter 22 is where we're going to be this morning, covering a subject that God gave me Monday morning. And I hope this will help you today. And I hope it'll help our children. I know it will. It'll be the help of the Lord. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Let's all stand, guys. One verse is all I'm going to give you this morning. One verse. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Got your place, say amen.
Amen.
That's it. Praise the Lord. Got your place, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let us pray. Father, as we come to you right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I stand before you today, bringing my heart to you, Lord. I'm about to deliver a message, Lord, that you give me early Monday morning. I pray that you'll hide us behind the shadow of the cross and that you'll use these young people this morning to let your word speak out to the congregation. Lord, how we love these young people, and we thank you, Lord, for what they mean to us in our life. Lord, how they've helped this pastor and encouraged his heart. God, I pray that you speak to your people today. Should there be one here lost without you, that today will be the day, Lord, they'll come and be saved before it's everlasting too late. Lord, we love you. We praise you for what you're about to do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Here we see in this chapter one of the greatest verses instructing the parents and the guardians on how to rear up their children. The concept of this verse is training our children. Training our children. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you love God, you'll train your children. Can I hear from you? If you love your children, you will train them. I want to preach a message this morning that God has put on my heart called Train Up a Child. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody ever tackle this subject like this, but I'm going to try to do what God has given me and try to help you this morning with the help of the Lord. I feel so unworthy to stand before Him this morning and brag on His lovely name and how good that He is. He's been so good to somebody like me. It wasn't just a few days ago that I was like this, and here I am now. And this is what God does if we'll seek Him first in our lives. If we'll put Him first in our lives at this age, God can use us for mighty things, to do great things. But we can see the first thing that we must understand, there must be a dedication with our children. I don't know if you've ever thought about that or not, but we must dedicate our children to the Lord. Now, my mother and father never told me that they went and took me to the church and had me dedicated, but I had a praying grandfather that was an old regular Baptist preacher that preached about 50 years of his life for the Lord, and he'd prayed over me and asked God's blessings upon me. And there's no doubt from his prayers and travailing to the Lord that I am the man that I am today, because he interceded in prayer for me and kept me out of the wiles of the devil, the place of the world. He got me in a place to honor him, and I praise God for that. But the first thing I want to talk about is a dedication. Over in Joshua in 24 and verse 15, the Bible says, in the past part of this, in the last part of this verse, he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We see that Joshua is making a statement here saying that for me and my house, I can't answer for you, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm glad that I made up my mind that when me and Ravonda got married and I brought this home together as one with me and her before the Lord, that we were going to honor the Lord. We were going to serve the Lord. When the Lord gave us Emily, I brought Emily to the Lord and dedicated her to the Lord. Why? Because for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Amen. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 5, the Bible says, will you see there that we see the dedication of the house of God there? They dedicated the house in Deuteronomy 20. They talked about dedication there. In 1 Kings 8:63, they talked about dedicating the church, the sanctuary of the Lord. They mentioned dedication there. And then went on down into 1 Samuel. We see that 1 Samuel 1, 26, 27, and 28, you can see where Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord. She had prayed and God had blessed her and she dedicated him to the Lord. I don't know about your children here if you've dedicated them to the Lord. But I'm telling you today, children are a gift from God. They ain't just a happening. They're a gift from God. And we're blessed to have every one of them. We're honored to have every one of them. It's a shame in this country that they've passed this bill of abortion and there's more babies killed than they are men on the battlefield. It's a shame. There are going to be people answer for the murders of these babies. Well, when is life? It's in conception. I'm telling you right now that that life is a life inside that woman. And abortion is wrong before God. It's murder this morning. And I want to tell you this morning, if you've been guilty of that, and I don't want to know if you have been, but if you've been guilty of that, God can forgive you of that. And you can live a successful life for Christ. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. We've all come short of it. But I'm glad there have been a few people that love God and honored God and allowed the children to come into this world that we can teach them the ways of God and rear them up in the Lord because they are the church of tomorrow. I've told you and told you and told you that someone is watching your life. And you may have wondered who those people were that were watching your life. I want you to look at these eyes. These are the ones that are watching your life. When you decide not to live for God, they're watching. When you decide to say things you shouldn't say, they're watching. When you decide to do things you shouldn't do, they're watching. And not only are they watching, God is watching through them. He sees everything before they see it. But we need to raise up our children that would honor God. Amen. We can forget everything else, but when it comes right down to it, do you not love your children? We love our children. We want the best for our children. I want my children to be successful. But most of all, I want Emily to have a good education. I want her to make a lot of money so she don't have to suffer in this life financially. I want her to have things. I want her to be happy. But most of all, I want her to honor God is what I want in my life. I wouldn't care if she didn't have two nickels to rub together as long as she loves God. Amen! That's what I want. That's what I want this morning. I want her to honor God. The Bible says that if we seek Him first over in Matthew, He tells us 6 there. He said if we'll seek Him first, all these other things will be added unto us as His will is. I believe that in our life. We need to teach our children to seek God first. How do we do that? We live a life that honors Christ. So there must be a dedication. We need to dedicate our children to the Lord. And I want to sometime in the future here have a dedication service for our children. If you've not ever dedicated your children, you need to let me know because we're going to have a big service and we'll dedicate every one of them to the Lord. I don't care how old they are, we'll dedicate them to God. We don't want to ever get past that. We want to dedicate our children to the Lord. Over in Psalms 127, verse 3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. In the fruit of the loom is the reward. In the fruit of her womb is the reward." These children are our heritage. I thought about the ministry that Ravonda and I have had over the years. And I can remember praying and travailing and asking God for a child. And my brother and sister-in-law's here, they can tell you, we cried and they cried with us and we prayed. We wondered if God was ever going to answer our prayer. And then finally one day, God answered our prayer. And there she sits right here. God answered our prayer. Why? I wanted to leave my heritage to somebody. I wanted somebody to be able to carry on the torch of everything we had done for God. I'm glad His Word said that our works are not in vain. Our labor is not in vain. All that we do for God will prosper. But it sure is nice to have some heritage. Can I hear from you?
Amen.
Amen. We need heritage in our life. And our children are our heritage. They're the ones, they are the church of tomorrow. They could be the next pastor sitting right there. The next pastor of this church could be sitting right there. And we don't even know it. But it's going to take you and I living for God, honoring God, loving these children, teaching them the ways of God. And when they've got a question, try to answer that question. Teach them to love their pastor and love their mommy and daddies and love mama and papa and love the people of the church. Teach them the ways of God. Because if you don't teach them, the devil will. Amen.
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 They know what's right. The devil will teach them if we don't teach them. So they have to be a dedication. James 1:17 tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from above, from the Father of light, who is no variableness nor shadow of turning. These are a gift from above. You think about how a child comes into this world. That's a miracle of God is what that is. When I was there with Ravonda and she had Emily, I thought I knew what love was. I really thought I knew what love was. But when that child came forth, I really found out what true love really was. For the first time in my life, I could run out in the traffic and let somebody run over me for her. I could jump in front of a train for her. I could jump in front of a bullet for her. I'd lay my life down for her. That's how much I love her. And you probably feel the same way about your children. Somebody say something out of the way to her, my feathers stand straight out. Now I'm ready to flog. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's right. We stand up for our children. We ain't letting nobody do nothing to our children. And when I see children abused now, it really gets on the bad side of me. I'm out in the marketplace or I'm out somewhere and I see children being abused, I get upset. I want to step up. But I just have to pray and ask God to help me and help them. Why are they like that? Because they're not being trained properly. And probably the mother and father has never been trained. Probably the mother and father had been rejected and thrown down. So it's carrying from generation to generation to generation. Do you realize what you are is what your children will be? Well, they won't be like me. Yes, they will. They follow what they see. And I've seen mothers and daddies passed out drunk and children laying on them, loving on them. Why? Because it's mommy and daddy. It didn't matter what mommy and daddy was doing. They loved them anyhow. I've seen mother and daddies push their children aside and not even care nothing about them. And children run right back to them. Slap them in the floor and they run right back to them. Why? Because they love their mommy and daddy. Shame on us if we would live a life like that and not love our children. Shame on us if we don't teach them the ways of God. We need to love our children and do what God commands us to do. And we need to dedicate our children to the Lord. They are a heritage. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'll get an amen one way or the other. Number two, as I've talked about, we must train them. Over in Matthew 5:16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. He ain't just talking about the men in the world right here. Let your light so shine that your children may see your good works and glorify the Father. They are what you are. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not telling you this to brag on me. I'm telling you this because God gave me this. That when Emily came into the world, me and Vonda have always had a strong prayer life together as a couple. But when Emily came into the world, God burdened my heart and said, you need to pray with your family every day of your life. So every night of our lives that we can and we're able and we're together, I try to every night. I pull Vonda and Emily into the living room. We turn the cell phones off. We turn the TVs off. We shut everything down and we go to prayer. Just this week, we were praying for you. Just this week, my family and I was praying for Canaan. Just this week, we were praying for Jude. Just this week, we were praying for your need. Just this week, we were praying for the needs of this church. My wife and my daughter, we was on our face asking God to help the church and help our country and help the nation. Why? Train up a child. I want to train my daughter to love God and honor God. And how can it start? Is by prayer. Is it easy? No. I come home, I've worked 12, 14, 15 hours a day. I'm wore out and things are happening. I've got to meet with church people. I got church events. I got all this stuff going on. And the time I get home, I am wore slap out. But I'm going to take time to pray with my family. The devil says, you're too tired. Just go on to bed. Forget it. Let it go. And when he starts that, I'm going to pray. If I had to die doing that, I'm going to pray then. Because I know what he's up to. We need to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. You need to outsmart the devil when he starts this stuff. Your children need to take a bath. They need to get their homework done. It's getting late. It's 9 o'clock at night. We got school the next day. We've got this to do. We got that to do. We got to get in the bed. We got to get this over with. And boom, it's gone. And you haven't took time to pray with your children. All I can say is shame on me if I don't do that. Church, we got to love our children. If we don't train these children, I promise you, the devil's going to train them. So the devil's going to... Who's got a cell phone on them? Somebody give me a cell phone. Quick. All right. If you don't train your children, this will train them. Do y'all realize that there's more technology in this phone right here than they were in all the computers that sent the space shuttle to the moon? Can you believe that? In my hand, I hold a computer that's stronger than all that it took to send the space shuttle to the moon. Apollo, I think it was Apollo 11, I believe it was, or 13, I can't remember. But it was one of those. Somebody's calling me. That's the truth. And if you do not train your children, this will train them. Right. I'm so thankful this was not available when I was a child. Right. I would have been wicked. God knowed that this didn't need to be around when I was a child. But I had a mother who would have stomped me in the ground if I'd have used it the wrong way, if it had been around then. That's hard language, brother. My mother raised me with a rod, and I'm still here today. They don't understand, but amen. But we need to watch what our children are doing. I gave Emily one of these early. I did it for a reason. It was for training. Want a phone, Daddy? Want a phone? Want a phone? Want a phone? Want a phone? I said, okay. I went and got her one. I used the psychology on her like my daddy did. My daddy bought me a motorcycle one time. He said, son, you know how you've heard the old saying, three strikes and you're out? And I said, yeah. He said, you get one. One, and that thing is gone. So I really didn't pay attention to him, and I got on that motorcycle and I did my thing. And about the time you think you're getting really good on one, it's going to put you down and have to kill you. And that's about what that did. And God spared my life, and I almost died from it. And my cousin Darrell sitting right back there. And I wrecked that motorcycle and ended up in a creek. I hit a cliff so hard I didn't even remember hitting it. Ended up in the creek, an old man pulling me out of the creek with water running over my chest, bleeding all over. And I walked about a mile and a half to a shop where he was at working. Trying to get people to stop. I'm bleeding all over. And everybody just, boom, 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 you know. Nobody's stopping. Nobody cared. And I went down there, and he thought, what in the world's happened to you? He got me to mom, they got me to the hospital. Thank the Lord, nothing was broke. But as soon as my daddy got home, I had to go on a trip the next day with my mother. As soon as my daddy got home, it was about 2 days later, he called me and said, "Hey, son, how you doing?" I said, "I'm great, Dad. How you doing?" He said, "I got good news." I said, "What's that?" He said, "I sold your motorcycle, your bicycle, and I'll have to think about buying you a set of roller skates to wear." He said, "Your wheels are gone." And for a solid year, I never had no wheels or nothing, because Daddy wanted to train his son. He gave him some responsibility, and he took advantage of it, and I paid the price. I did the same for Emily. I give her a phone. And I said, "Now, as long as you keep it right and do it right, everything will be good. But the moment you don't, it's gone." Everything was good for a while. One day I walked in and I said, "I don't see your phone." "Why?" I knew right then I had a problem. "Give me your phone." Got her phone. It's things I didn't like. Wasn't nothing really bad. It's things I didn't approve of. And I said, "Well, this is where life changes." And she lost her phone for 4 months. And she learned for 4 months, life will go on without a phone. This was years ago. This didn't happen last week. And she learned Daddy meant business. I'm talking about training your child. If you don't train your child, the devil will train your child when you ain't even looking. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." If you're doing this, parents, they will see God in you. You need to put this in parentheses in your Bible. You need to write this next one down. I love this verse. I've used it my whole life. I use it when I feel lazy and I don't want to do it. I realize I need to do this. 2 Timothy 2:15. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you know it's your obligation as a parent to learn the word of God that you may teach your children what is right in the word of God? Can I hear from you?
Amen.
Amen. That's
Amen.
Right. How are they going to know if you don't teach them? How are they going to know if you don't take the Bible and sit down with them and say, "Look, let me show you what the Bible says about what you're going through"? You know, I sit down at night and I talk to Emily and we'll talk about her day and things that's going on. And if things are really hard and she's having a struggle, I say, "Explain to me what's going on." When she explains to me what's going on, and then I'll grab my Bible and I'll pull it out and I'll say, "Let's look at what the Bible says about what you're going through." And you say, "Well, Brother Gary, I really don't know the Scriptures that way." I promise you, if you'll get in here and study, if you'll use 2 Timothy 2:15, if you'll get in there and study the Word of God, when these times come, you'll be able to find what you need for your child. You can get in there and you can write things down, and I'm telling you what, they need to know. They are like a sponge. They need to hear from you, and you need to get in the Word of God and be able to instruct them. That's awful weak this morning. We need to get in the Word of God. Is that right, Brother Earl, back there? Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. I'm getting him involved too. We're all in this thing together. Not only is it your job to train your children, but we're coming to church, and as your pastor, I've got to help train your children. Something that's been on my heart, been burning my heart, and I've been thinking about. You know, we send our children out to children's church. I love children's church. That's fine for little bitty children. You know, children of certain age, you know, they act up and they need attention and they need to be worked with and things like that. And that's great. And we need to have children's church for those little bitty ones. But when they get of a certain age, we need to have them in the sanctuary. They need to be under the preached word of God. They need to see God moving in the sanctuary. And they need to see what's happening so God can work with them. And they may come to that knowledge of the truth. I was 11 years old when I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. And I felt like I had the whole world upon me. I felt like that I was the worst sinner that ever lived. Well, you say 11-year-old child ain't done much sinning. Well, I was lost without God. I needed the blood applied to my life. How's our children ever going to know if they truly need to be born again if they're not under the preached word of God? Now, I'm not saying that our folks that are taking care of children's church, they do a wonderful job. They're teaching them the word. They're loving on them. They're showing them what scriptures are the best they can while they're bouncing off the wall back and forth. They're trying to help them. If you never run a program like that, if you've never been a part of children's church and young children's church and teaching young children, you need to take time and be a part of that one time. You will appreciate those folks that do that. Can I hear from you guys?
Amen.
You ought to be on the seat going, yeah, amen! Because it's tough. It's tough. And the Lord's fixing to bring us on youth leaders. We're fixing to start a youth program. We're really going to get involved in these youth lives. We're really going to start making things happen. And it's going to take us all working together to train our children that we can teach them the ways of God. And I need your help to do that this morning. I want you to look at these because they're watching you this morning. They're watching your reaction to what God is wanting to speak to you this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We need to train our children. We need to dedicate our children. We need to train them and teach them the ways of God. Here comes the next part that they're not going to like, but I've got to share it with you this morning. We've got to discipline our children. We have to discipline our children. Proverbs 22:15. I'm giving you scripture. I'm about to give you something that you probably won't care much for, but it's a word of God, and I'm going to give it to you because the Lord told me to give it to you. Proverbs 22:15, the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod shall, what? The rod of correction shall drive it far from them. That's tough stuff, and I don't expect you all to amen this morning on this part. I don't know if my mother read that or what she done, but she believed in that. She knew what was in my heart was foolishness. And she knew how to take a rod and drive it out of me. And these times I said, Mom, I want to go down the road and play with my friends. Nope. Why can I go? If you say that again. But, boom, she'd fly in, buddy. She's like a ninja. She'd have me cut down quick. Or if I could, you know, some kids nowadays, they'll sass their parents back. If I looked at my mother wrong, I mean, she was on me like a ninja. Whack, whack, whack. I mean, I couldn't say nothing. She said, boy, don't you look at me that way. Just, ma'am, you know. I really thought she was going to take me out of this life. I really did. Because she would tell me, I brought you in, I'll take you out. I believed her. My dad would be standing over the side going, shh. He'd say, Jenny, could you please? She'd say, shh. I'm straightening this boy out. Then she'd say, if you'd whoop him more, I wouldn't have to do this. Boom, he'd fly in on me. Are you happy now? I'm the one suffering. You know? But they did believe in discipline. They did believe in doing what the Bible said and raising their children with the rod. Verse 14, well, here in Proverbs 22:13-14, the Bible says, withhold not correction from a child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. I know that's strong, but that's what the Bible says. Verse 14 said, and I don't apologize for it. Verse 14, the Bible says, now shall you beat him with the rod, you shall deliver his soul from hell. Do y'all remember when they had paddling in school? Now, I'm still in Proverbs. Y'all need to go in Proverbs and read that today. But you remember in school when they had paddling in school? Who remembers that? I remember my teacher, Miss Young, she had a paddle. It looked like it was 3 inches thick, but it was about that thick. And she had holes all in it and had the word Young wrote across it. Because that was her last name. And it was about that long. And I can remember as a boy when she'd bring you up. And y'all listen to this. She'd bring us up to the desk. We'd put our hands on the desk. Y'all listen. Make me put my hands on the desk and stand on my tiptoes. And she would rear her back, and I could hear the wind. Pow! And then she'd stop and stand there. She wanted it to burn in real good, get hot. I mean, she would right back, I mean, like Babe Ruth, you know, like wham, and hit me. And she would roll that paddle. About the time it contacted, she kind of twisted. And I mean, make you just like, oh, glory. You know. And time she got to the third one, I didn't want no more. There was tears coming out. She said, now go back down there and sit down. And it kept me in line the rest of the time. You remember when that went on? Kids weren't like they are now. Now you got kids, you know, beating teachers up. We would, you know, you have a little scuffle in school and you go out on a playground and settle that all up and it's done. Now they're trying to kill each other. Reckon how that all happened when they took the discipline out. When the discipline left the home. And when the government put the fear in the people about discipline. I can't tell you what to do with your children. All I can tell you is what thus saith the Word of God. And I'm telling you this morning, Proverbs teaches us as the people of God that we have to correct our children. If we love them, we will correct them. I know it's hard this morning. I've met with parents of six-year-olds. I can't do a thing with it. Well, come meet me in my office. I can give you some instructions on how you can get to it, how you can reach it. Discipline will not kill a child. Now, I'm not for abusing a child. I am totally against abusing a child. You should never abuse a child. But everybody has their own way of disciplining their children. They need discipline. If you love them, you will discipline them. A child cannot raise themselves. They do not know what's right or wrong unless you teach them. Okay? And it is tough. And I would have to whip Emily. And I would tell her, it hurts me more than it hurts you. I couldn't believe the words of my mother was coming out of my mouth. I didn't realize when she was telling me that what she meant. So I just run in circles, you know. And she'd have a hold of me trying to whip me. She said, you don't know how many times you about twisted my arm out of socket. She said, but I wasn't going to let you go. I'm going to teach you a lesson. We've got to show them that we love them. My daughter is here today. She's still breathing. I mean, I could count, well, more than two hands. I was going to say, I only whooped her this many times, but now we about had to do that one time. But anyhow, she knows that it didn't hurt her none. She just turned 16 years old. And I'm proud of my daughter. She loves God. She honors God. Do I make her do that? No. That's her choice. When she started singing with me and Ravonda, I said, you don't have to. She said, but I want to. Why? Because I trained her that way. I trained her to honor God. And that's what I want for her life. And I'm going to keep on training her till she goes out of the nest. And then I'll be trying to advise her on past that, tell her what to do, because that's what parents do. We see them in danger, we're going to tell them. Amen?
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 And that's what we do. We got to advise our children. If you love your children, you will discipline. I know it hurts. I told her, I said, Emily, it kills me that I have to whip the very thing that I love the most in life, that I have to whip you. And I would talk to her and explain to her, I don't want to do this, but God commands me to do this. And she knew if I promised her, it was a done deal. So all I had to do, I'd say, Emmy, you promised. That shut her whole world down. Because she knew once Daddy promised, there's no backing up on a promise. We need to do a promise this morning. We need to promise God that we're going to raise our children right. Let me give you one more thing. Y'all quiet on me this morning. Number four, we must love our children. Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3. Now you all listen to me, you guys. This is for you all, okay? Mom and Daddy loves you. Y'all know what Mom and Daddy loves you. Every one of you know your Mom and Daddy loves you. They love you more than life itself. That's how much they all love you, you guys. But I want you all to look at me just a minute. Every one of you guys, I want you to look at me. I love you this morning. I love you with all my heart. And I appreciate every one of you. But God loves you more than I do. Because He loves you more than me, He's commanded me to tell you the truth. And in Ephesians, the Bible says that we're to honor our father and our mothers. This is right, is what the Bible says. And if we honor them and we do what they ask us to do, the Bible says that you'll live long in this life. It'll bless your life to live a long time by honoring Mommy and Daddy. So they want you to listen to them, because they're going to teach you what's right. It may not always be what you want, and it may not be exactly the way you like it. But if you trust them, I promise you, it'll work out good for you. Now, how old are you, brother? You're 8. Connor, you're 7. How old are you? 6. How old are you? 5. How old are you? 9. How old are you? 4. All right. Anybody here 11 years old? You're 11? You're 11? You're 11? I was your all's age when I come to know Jesus as my personal Savior. And God started blessing my life and using me. You know how He did that? He did that through the instruction of God's people. That's how He did that. And I watched their lives and I learned from that, because I found out God loves me. And He loves each one of you this morning. He wants to use you. He's going to use you all in a mighty way. A lot of you have different talents. Some play music, some can sing, some can draw real good. Y'all got different talents, every one of you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the Bible says. And it's our job, as God's people, to teach you His ways. So I want you to know He loves you this morning. You're so pretty. He loves each and every one of you this morning. And we promise, don't we, church? We promise that we're going to love you and teach you the ways of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to teach you His ways. Why? Because God is going to hold us accountable. So remember, the Bible says directly to you, children, Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3, He says, honor thy father and thy mother. And He says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. I want to read you all this, and we'll come to a close. But in Matthew 19, 13, 14, and 15, the disciples, they were children gathering a lot around Jesus. And the disciples were trying to respect the Master. And they were trying to allow Him to do His work. But all these children wanted to get to Jesus. And they thought they were doing the right thing, and they wanted to keep them away. But in Matthew 19, 13, 14, and 15, listen to what the Bible says. Then were brought unto Him little children, that He should put His hands on them and pray, and His disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, this is what Jesus said about you guys, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto Me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And He laid His hands on them and He blessed them. And if Jesus has done that, what should we do, church? We should do the same thing. So I ask you today, will you train your children, or are you going to let the devil train them? I know this is a hard subject this morning. I put a lot on you, but this is exactly what the Lord told me to give you this morning. Are you going to train them, or are you going to let the devil train them? So I'm going to put you to a challenge this morning. I want every one of you guys to come right here and stand in the line across the front of this stage. Every one of you. Come right down here. Stand right here in the front. So let me ask you today. Do you love these children enough to train them? Or are you going to let the devil train them? So if you're serious about training these children in the Lord, I want this church this morning to come, and we're going to gather around these children, and we're going to pray and ask God to bless them and to help us as parents and as grandparents train these children in the way they should go. Would you come this morning and help me pray for these children?